Welcome to Solder Smoke, a podcast by radio amateurs with a focus on homebrew electronics. We get together on the internet to swap ideas about radio construction projects. Our website is www.soldersmoke.com. Please send feedback to soldersmoke, that's one word, at yahoo.com. So, as we step away from our soldering irons and oscilloscopes, please join us for another edition of Solder Smoke.
Hey, good morning. It's Tuesday, November 13th, 2007, about 0617 in the morning, and this is Solder Smoke 69, a delayed edition. Usually do it on the weekend, but spend some more time at the bench over the weekend. You guys are, I think you're hearing the results there. It's the Drake 2B in the background. It's on 40-meter CW, picking up stations from the east. I worked on the 2B over the weekend a little bit. It was kind of getting deaf on me. Tuning it around a little bit here. It was getting a little bit microphonic. And it wasn't... signals coming out of it, it just wasn't loud enough, so I kind of suspected that the audio amplifier tube was getting a little bit weak, and I kind of dug through the junk box, and I had to go down to the storage locker and find my big old box of tubes, but I found them, and I found the necessary replacement. It's the final audio amplifier in a Drake 2B as a 6, I think it's a, is that right, 6BA6, let me see here, hold on a second, look at the schematic, no, it's a 6AQ5, anyway, I replaced the 6AQ5, and I replaced a 6BA6 in it too, somewhere along the line. One of the other tubes is a 6BA6, yeah, for the first IF amp. I got a chuckle because the, the date on the tube box was from the Hamelin Manufacturing Company, date packed September 1955. So the tube I put in the the radio, I don't think is quite as old as I am, but the one of the tubes in there is older than me. So that was fun. I enjoyed working on the 2B. I don't know. We're definitely all of us, I guess, transistorized kinds of radio amateurs now. And I certainly have moved quite a bit away from the old tube gear, but there's something very satisfying about working on the old tube stuff. And the radio, the receiver just looks great. I have it sitting on the workbench right next to me now. I don't even have the case on it. It's just sitting there with the tubes and the innards exposed, and it just looks like a serious piece of electronic equipment. The 2B is very compact. It's a small little radio. We talk about the Drake 2B a lot. I get a lot of email from guys. I think I told you last week about the fellow down in New Zealand who talked about how he was most concerned about the safe arrival of his Drake 2B when he moved to New Zealand. Rick Campbell mentions the 2B a lot in his articles as sort of a kind of the dream receiver. And well, it's my favorite piece of radio gear here, the one I'm working on now. I've had since 1973. I think I'll keep it. But anyway, the 2B, it looks like a real radio sitting there. It's, you know, I was trying to explain to Billy, you know, when you work on solid state gear, the circuitry is all very flat. It's just flat down there on the PC board. But as soon as you get into tube type construction, everything becomes very 3D. You have the tubes coming up from the chassis, and you have the circuitry kind of point-to-point wiring down below, and so it becomes very much of a 3D kind of construction project as opposed to the kind of two-dimensional PC board construction that most of us are engaged in most of the time. I'm not saying I'm going back to tubes, but I'm definitely going to keep the Drake 2B going. I think I'm going to go out and buy a whole new set of tubes from it, probably send off an order to Antique Electronic Supply. Really good. It's going pretty good now, even with a tiny little antenna. Got a little homebrew tuner here. Tweak the thing up. Good signals coming in on 40 CW. It's just nice to have some real high-frequency radio signals being tuned in while I'm sitting here in the shack. I've had 2 meters on here. I think in the last show I played a clip from my first 2 meter contact. That's great, and it's an excellent way to kind of meet the local radio amateurs here in Rome. But it's just not the same. it's not HF. So I'm very pleased to have the Drake 2B percolating along there with CW signals coming in. Let's see. We passed a couple of holidays here, and I wanted to mention, first of all, happy Veterans Day to everybody, especially to all the veterans out there. I got a nice email from Tony, G4WIF, wishing Billy happy birthday, and then reminded me that Billy's birthday coincides with a very important UK holiday, which is Guy Fawkes Day, and man, Guy Fawkes Day was my favorite UK holiday. It commemorates the defeat of the Gunpowder Plot, the plot to blow up Parliament by putting apparently an enormous number of kegs filled with gunpowder in the basement of the building back in 1600 something, and the plot was foiled, and apparently bonfires were lit all over the country to commemorate the to warn the people of the danger. And so they celebrate Guy Fawkes Day in the UK on the 5th of November, and they celebrate it with enormous bonfires, fireworks. So you've got just about all the elements for a good holiday there. You've got pyrotechnics, a good conspiracy, bonfires on a fall night. It's a good one. So we remember Guy Fawkes Day very fondly, and thanks to Tony for reminding us of that. Also, the Indian festival, Diwali, happened, and I know we have some listeners in India, so happy Diwali to you, and we always enjoyed that one too, because another source of good fireworks displays in London. Let's see what else on the calendar here. Listen, looking up ahead, it's not a holiday, but it's an interesting event, I think, for listeners to Solder Smoke. It's the old frequency measuring test. It's going to be run by the ARRL. It's going to be on 15th of November at 0245 UTC. I think the frequencies, not the exact frequencies, the rough frequencies. If they gave you the exact frequencies, it would kind of be pointless, you know. The approximate frequencies are 1845, 3583, and 7045 kilohertz. So get out that frequency measuring gear, guys, and see if you can win the frequency measuring test. I, of course, have no hope of winning the frequency measuring test. All of my homebrew gear is let's say very imprecise in terms of the frequency readout. I have one receiver here that uses the top of a coffee can as the frequency readout device. The Drake 2B, one of the few faults in it is the frequency readout. It has what, this may come as a shock to radio amateurs who grew up with glowing numeral frequency readouts, but the Drake 2B has a little red needle that moves along on a string. And in terms of frequency readout, well, there's a problem called parallax. If you're looking at it from off to the side, the frequency readout could be about 5 kc's off from if you're looking at it at the center. So obviously the Drake 2B is not the ideal receiver for the ARRL frequency measuring test. But I know some of you guys out there have a whole lot more precise gear, so So give it a go, as they would say in the UK, and see if one of the Sutter Smoke listeners can come in with the prize for the frequency measuring test. Got the I get the ARRL news bulletin, came in this week. One thing that caught my eye was the rather dismal sunspot count. It said that on the 6th of November, there was one, count them, one sunspot on Old Sol. And that one sunspot came after 29 days without a single sunspot. Pretty poor. And as I read this, I just finished working on my Drake 2B, and I wondered briefly if the problem wasn't the receiver, was in fact that there were no signals to listen to. But that's happened before. You know, these guys go out and start trying to tear the receiver apart because it's not picking up anything, and find out that there were blackout conditions and there were just no signals. But well, no, I don't think that was the case with the Drake 2B, but still a pretty challenging ionospheric environment for HF hams. Let's see, what else? Oh, a couple other kind of news items came across the came to our attention this week. It's a real interesting article in the LA Times. Where is it? Here, I'm digging it up. Yeah. It was in the LA Times on the 2nd of November, Dateline, Erie, Pennsylvania. It's called Sending His Cancer a Signal. It's about a radio amateur named John Canzius, who went to the shack and developed a device that they say is having a big impact on medical treatments. So take a look at it. I'm sure if you just Google, this article, it'll come up real quick. I think it'll be of interest to a lot of folks. And it's very inspirational. Guy who goes to the shack and builds something that can really, really help people. So three cheers for John Canzius, a radio amateur. And go ahead and check out that article. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, a couple other things to comment on. I get somebody sent me the World, the magazine World Radio. I guess it was a promotional copy. I always like that magazine quite a bit. There's some really nice columns in there, and one of my favorite columns is by a fellow named Bill Pasternak. He writes a really nice column in there. I've read it on and off over the years and always enjoy it. And he told a good story about kind of a rogue CB-er back in Brooklyn when Bill was a kid. And this was a guy who was desperate to put out more power on the 27 megahertz CB band. And one of his problems was getting a sufficient high voltage. And I guess he was worried about paying the electricity bills too, because he came up with a scheme. Well, his apartment was very, very close to the elevated subway system in Brooklyn, and he realized that there was readily available, well, not too readily available, but close by, there was a source of 600 volt DC. So our hero managed to hook up the third rail of the New York City subway system and run a lead into his CB. You can't really call it a shack, into his CB nest or whatever it was, whatever they called them, and and use that to power an illegal amplifier. So, well, justice was done because the authorities found out about it. Bill said that he read about it in the paper quite a while afterwards. Apparently, the guy got away with it for a long time. Thought that was an interesting way to power the rig. Okay, one of the couple other things I wanted to mention here. Let's see. Ah, the November issue of QST. Really, it was an interesting article in here about building an SSB rig. It's called Simple Sideband, Another Approach, by David Harrison, W6IBC. And, you know, these kind of homebrew articles, I think all of us find them really interesting as a guy who goes through and describes his thoughts in designing and building rigs. I'm particularly interested in phone rigs. And this is an SSB filter rig for 40 meters. Uses some NE602 chips and has a rather interesting kind of switching arrangement to go from transmit to receive. But one thing that really caught my eye on it was his description of the permeability tuned oscillator. And there was a couple of lines here, if I could find it. The coil that he used was wound on a straw. And it says here, here's the paragraph. And this is the bit about ingenuity. It says, winding the coil on the straw creates hoop strength and results in stable construction. I found that the larger 5/16 inch diameter McDonald's soda straw to be preferable over quarter inch diameter plastic straws. Great. So get out to McDonald's before you build this rig. I always like it when the real kind of part source is identified and it's something that's within reach of everybody. We were talking about tube radios last night. The Drake 2B kind of prompted the discussion, and I was telling Billy about the fun of building and working on tube gear, and I pulled out a receiver that I built a long time ago in Virginia called the Mate for the Mighty Midget. There's info on it on my website, but the coils on this thing had to be wound on pill bottles. The Lou McCoy was the designer, and the design called for the coils in it to be wound over ordinary pill bottles to be used, they would use as the coil forms. So when I was going to build this thing, I had to go to the pharmacy in Falls Church, Virginia, and ask the pharmacist to give me some empty pill bottles. And I knew that they were going to suspect that I was some sort of dope fiend looking for drug paraphernalia. So when I went to the CVS pharmacy, I took with me the copy, I think it was the 1966 issue of QST. And when the eyebrows went up, I pulled out the magazine and pointed to the picture in Lou McCoy's article and said, look, I really needed to build a radio. And they gave me several pill bottles. So I was reminded of all that when I read about David Harrison's rig and the McDonald's straws. It'd be a bit easier to get the McDonald's straws than it is to get pill bottles these days. But anyway, check out the QST article. Very interesting, a lot of fun. Guys, this is going to be kind of a short show this week. Kind of slowed down. We've had, you can hear me kind of coughing here a bit. We've had some early winter colds here in the house, and I'm kind of slowed down a bit. I think that's why one of the other reasons why Solder Smoke's been delayed by a few days. I also got a bad back. Guys, you guys know, most of you guys are parents, and you understand what I'm talking about here. You get used to picking up your kid and taking them to bed, and then you don't realize that over time, they're getting heavier and heavier, and you're getting older and older. So I think the other night, Maria fell asleep on the couch, and I underestimated both her weight and my age. Did a number on my back. So anyway, as long as I don't move too much, it's okay. But anyway, enough of that. If I keep talking about it, this program will start sounding like some frequencies on 75 meters. We don't want that. Now it's time for Cue the Synthetic Digigon.
Solder Smoke Mailbag. lovely.
Yeah, indeed, it's awesome. Let's see, we've got some good mail coming in here. We've got first I'll do the solder smoke mailbag. Then we have a message from Scott out there in western South Dakota. First, we got a real nice message from Chuck Young. I don't believe he's a radio amateur, but he's certainly an electronic enthusiast. He works at Michigan State, and he was listening to an older issue of Solder Smoke, in which Mike and I were discussing the relative merits of pyrite and galena in crystal radios. And Chuck said that he too had noted that that pyrite, fool's gold, seems to work even better than the standard galena crystals. So thanks for that message, Chuck. Ivan, G0BON, writes in about a new website that Niels, P-E-1-O-I-T, has on the web. And Ivan points out that it's all about home brewing. It's just getting started. I'm sure that the Niels will be putting more stuff up there. But I took a look, and it is very interesting. And he's got Niels has a kind of an anti-NE602 page. Not completely. I mean, he just points out the shortcomings of NE602s, especially when used in receiver circuitry. It's the IMD problem in dealing with strong signals. And I saw that Niels actually had come up with one of these little circles with a red slash through it over an NE602. So those of you who are interested in these kind of design issues, check it out. And it's an interesting page. I'm sure if you just Google PE10IT, it'll take you there. I'll try to put a link up on to the gadgeteer.us webpage. Randy, K7AGE, writes in that the fall has brought him back to the workbench and to the soldering iron. He says he thinks it has something to do with changing of the clocks, but as he changes the clocks, he finds himself drawn back to the soldering iron, back to construction. So fine business on that, Randy, and we hope you have a real good winter of construction and radio projects. Another email from the UK, Steve 2E0BIX writes in that he's working on a DSB 80 meter 1 watt kit called the PW Breen. I think PW stands for Practical Wireless. Very fine magazine there in the UK. And I know they put out a kit for a double sideband 80 meter rig. And Steve is working on that, so fine business. We're always encouraged when we find other people using double sideband or building double sideband gear. Makes me feel less of a kind of a spectrum. It's like I'm not the only one using twice as much spectrum as necessary. But fine business, says Steve, and good luck with the project. Finally, on Solder Smoke Mailbag this week, Nigel M0NDE, our friend down there in Dover, sent in a very interesting email. He said that he was playing Solder Smoke. The issue that described our move to Rome and my concern about the Drake 2B, he was playing that when his wife and daughters were listening. And he said that when I made some comment about how I wasn't really that concerned about the kids' clothes or the family china or anything like that, what I was really concerned about was, of course, the safe arrival of the Drake 2B. And Nigel said that this comment caused all the ladies in his family to the comment was typical. I suppose it is. One other thing. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of Solder Smoke Mailbag, but I wanted to play for you a nice message that we got from Scott out there in western South Dakota. So we'll put that on here as the last item in Solder Smoke Mailbag.
Hello, Bill. This is Scott Rausch, WA0VKC. I live out in the western part of South Dakota. I recently started listening to your Solder Smoke broadcast. I download their MP3 files and then play them on my AM broadcast band retransmitter. So I listen to them on my vintage AM radios that I enjoy restoring. I found out about your website from Wes Hayward a year or so ago and just started listening to them. I also am interested in old-time radio, so while I'm sitting here doing my paperwork, I can be listening to you or Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy, or Superman, or some of the other classics. Anyway, keep up the good work. I really enjoy listening to your broadcasts. Take care, and good luck to you in your career. This is Scott, WA0VKC. Yeah, Bill, I wanted to just comment on the vintage receiver that you see in the picture there. It's an old airline AM and shortwave receiver. It belonged to my mother's uncle, who passed away in the mid-80s at the age of 98. He listened to this radio probably every day since the 50s till up until he died. He didn't believe in TV, so he listened to the radio. And I think he was pretty smart. The AM retransmitter that I'm using is something called a Systran AMT 3000. I bought it off the internet. It works fantastic. It just transmits low power AM throughout the house. I can hear it out in the yard and out in the barn when I'm doing my horse chores. That's it, Bill. Have a great day, and thanks a lot for your efforts on solder smoke. This is Scott, WA0VKC 73.
Well, thanks very much for that, Scott. Very nice message, and it's good to get some audio in from folks out there. Glad to know that we're on the AM broadcast band in in western North Dakota. It was South Dakota. If anybody's listening out there on the AM, we'll send our regards from Rome. Hey, one other thing. I just wanted to mention this because I heard it last night. I was my bad back was keeping me up, and I was listening to the BBC on a little short Sony shortwave receiver, and the BBC carried a really interesting story about backyard sheds in Australia. Now, the way they described the backyard shed, it sounded to me remarkably like the Radio Shack that is so near and dear to our hearts. Back in the day when hams were hams and radios were radios, they had to keep the big spark transmitters out of the backyard because it would be just too dangerous and obnoxious to have these things inside the family home. And I often think that it might have been a mistake for us to move inside the house with the gear. Most ham shacks are now inside the family home. And there's definitely a certain advantage to the old Radio Shack out in the backyard kind of operation. I'm sure you guys know what I mean. And apparently our Australian brothers have never really given up on the shack or the shed, as they call it. And now there's a movement in Australia, not really related to ham radio, but I'm sure many hams are involved, to have kind of communal sheds for it's really kind of a guy thing, but not just the individual shed, but guys are kind of linking their sheds together and coming up with kind of, it's kind of a place for guys to go to talk about tools, building things, and I guess sort of subjects that are related to those that we discuss here on Solder Smoke. Again, I don't think this was specifically to do with ham radio, but when they were talking about why guys like to go out to the shed and sit there in the backyard with their tools, it definitely rang a bell with me. So I'm going to try to find the link to this BBC story. I think you guys would be interested. And three cheers for our Australian brothers who are reviving the, I guess we could call it, shed culture down under. We need more of that. I wish I had a shed. 7-3s for now. That's it from London. Have a real good week. Oh, man, not London. Rome. That's right, Rome.